My name is Anne David. I'm a member of Session. Sorry, I've got a froggy throat today. I'm sure you have a hard enough understanding me with my accent, but with this, you'll just have to guess. I'm a member of Session and a duty elder for today. If you are visiting with us today, please sign our book in the narthex, which is just by the front door. I only have one announcement. We don't have anybody for greeting on December the 24th or the 29th. If you feel that you can do that, please could you let Bob or Renata know. Thank you. Denise has an announcement she'd like to make.
Will you stay here because you're my partner?
Okay.
Christmas dinner. I'm just begging you so that Anne and I don't have to do all the baking while the turkeys are cooking. If you could just, if you want to volunteer, anything is appreciated. Even Mary Lou's has homemade cookies. If you could just drop them off Christmas Eve during the day when the turkeys are being cooked, that would be great, just so that we know we'll have enough. Okay, I think that's all.
That's good.
Okay, thank you. Thank you all.
That was your turn.
I have a few announcements I want to make as well. I still have a cold and bronchitis. I have a little more voice than I had last week, I think. But I wanted to point out that we're doing very well with our CY 2020 donations. I want to thank you again so much on behalf of Knox and the church in Winnipeg. We're up to 5.5 youth that we're able to send so far. If you look in, you'll see that report. So again, thank you very much on their behalf, and we'll continue to support this as we move through the next little while. In light of the giving, there's lots of giving going on in this season. There's also a note in the bulletin about the Presbyterian sharing. We need another $500 to meet our commitment to Presbyterian sharing. And as we pointed out in the bulletin, even as little as $2 from each of us would help us hit that target very well. Not in the announcements, and I do want to make the announcement, that the men's coffee with the minister will be on January the 9th, not the 2nd, like it would normally be, because I'm not going to be around on the day after New Year's Day and all that sort of stuff. So the men will be on the 9th, and the ladies' coffee time will be on the 16th, the Thursday following that. So I'll put out a newsletter to update that, but just make a note today. And the last thing I want to mention is that the children will be staying with us throughout the service. We have a very, very special service today. If you look at the bulletin, it looks sort of like our normal Sunday service, but we've got lots and lots of singing that's going to be taking place today. You're going to be doing some singing. The choir is going to be doing a lot of singing, and we even have a song that the children will be helping and leading us with as well. So today is a very special Sunday. It's the fourth Sunday of Advent, the Sunday of love, and lots of music today. So let's prepare our hearts for worship today. We'll take a moment and be silent and get ready.
My soul magnifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior.
The Mighty One has done great things, holy in God's name.
We light this candle as a symbol of the joy to be found in your kingdom on earth.
For the Lord elevates the lowly, releases the captive, and brings sight to the blind. We rejoice in his justice and mercy, faithful to all generations. Lord Jesus, come.
Join together now in our first hymn this morning, Hark the Glad Sound, number 118.
Thank you.
choir has a song they're going to share with us now. I'm going to call on them. Thank you, choir. I know we've got much music ahead of us, and we're looking forward to that. The birthday of a king, that's what we're anticipating, and that's what Advent is really all about. It's part of our story. And now we'll come before the Lord with our prayers of adoration, confession, and followed with the Lord's Prayer. Let's bow our heads. Eternal Triune God, you are forever living in a relationship of love with us, and that is the core of this story that we talk about and celebrate this day, and all through Advent, and are anticipating as we move towards the day. Lord, we thank you for your grace, which you call us to live within and bless us with. We praise you for the creative word that has become flesh and dwelt among us. We praise you for the faces of this Advent season, that we're able to look forward and backward in a sense at the story of the journey of this baby, the birth of this baby in Bethlehem. We can look around at the presence in our lives of the risen Christ, and we can look ahead to the fulfillment of your reign on earth as it is in heaven. You bless us with so much, Lord. But in the midst of this season of goodwill and joy and love, we still have moments where we need to stop, as we do this day, and confess before you those moments when we have not followed your path. In spite of holiday cheer, often stress and anxiety can rule in our lives and take away those precious moments. We can very much miss the reason for the season. Instead, we can focus on other things, the traffic, the crowds, long to-do lists, trying to get all the stuff done, so to speak, before the big day. We fail to think about your reordered world, a world where the lowly are lifted up and the hungry are filled with good things, where your love entered this world and became flesh. So, Lord, help us to adjust our priorities, especially during this Christmas time, that we might join with you in preparing a world that welcomes the one who brings us the love that you have for us. Forgive us, Lord, for those moments when we have forgotten you, when we lost sight of you, and help us to repent. Help us to change our ways to follow you. All of this we pray in the name of Jesus, who taught us to pray the following. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The ancient promises of God are fulfilled in this Advent season. God does not forget us. God never forgets us. God's mercy extends from generation to generation. Let our souls rejoice in God. Receive God's grace, knowing that our sins are forgiven by the gift of Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God. Amen. We'll join together now in our next hymn, and we'll sing it in its entirety, Infant Holy, Infant Lowly, 143. Now I'm going to call on the children and singers, as I put in there, to join us. Pardon me for Let It Be Christmas. Good job. Boys and girls, thank you so much. That was wonderful. Let's do it again. Come on. Good job. Michelle, I didn't know you played guitar. That's wonderful. You shouldn't let that out, you know. It's already out. That's right. Very good. Thank you, boys and girls, so much for that. That was really, really wonderful. Wow, that was just not really nice. Thank you. We're going to read God's Word now, and as we do, let's just take a moment and bow our heads in prayer and invite the Spirit of God in our midst. Let's bow our heads. God of hope and encouragement, we've come in the midst of this season of busyness and preparation to find time and space to slow down, and this music today is just helping us to just reflect really on what that's all about and just taking that time to know that your Son is being born and we're preparing for that. So in that sense of preparation, help us to focus our minds this morning as we hear God's Word and we hear God's Word sung as well all through this service. Help us to hear your voice this morning, Lord. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Our first reading today, our responsive reading, which is found in the Psalters in your pews, is from Psalm 80. And the lectionary normally kind of picks and chooses the verses. We're going to read this entire psalm. It's a psalm that was written when as a reflection, if you like, of what it felt like for the people of God, the Israelites, when they were in exile. And of praying for God to come into their midst. And it's a great prayer for this Advent time that we're praying for God to be in our midst and renew the land and renew our hearts. So let's read Psalm 80 responsively, Heather.
Verses 1 to 7, followed by 17 to 18. Give ear, O shepherd of Israel, you who lead Joseph like a flock. You who are enthralled upon the cherubim, shine forth before Ephraim, Benjamin, and Manasseh. Stir up your might and come to save us. Restore us, O God. Let your face shine that we may be saved. O Lord, God of hosts, how long will you be angry with your people's prayers? You have fed them with the breath of tears. And you give them tears to drink in full measure. You make us to scorn our neighbours, our enemies laugh among themselves. Restore us, O God of hosts. Let your face shine that we may be saved. But let your hand be upon the one at your right hand, the one whom you made strong for yourself. Then we will never turn back from you. Give us life, and we will call on your name. Restore us, O Lord, God of hosts. Let your face shine, that we may be saved.
Pardon me. Our Old Testament reading is taken from Isaiah 7, and this again is talking about John the Baptist, but also the coming of the Messiah in our midst. Isaiah 7, beginning at verse 10. Again, the Lord spoke to Ahaz, saying, ask a sign of the Lord your God, and let it be deep as Sheol or as high as heaven. But Ahaz said, I will not ask, and I will not put the Lord to the test. Then Isaiah said, hear then, O house of David. Is it too little for you to weary mortals that you weary my God also? Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Look, the young woman is with child, and shall bear a son, and shall name him Emmanuel. He shall eat curds and honey by the time he knows how to refuse the evil and choose the good. For before the child knows how to refuse the evil and choose the good, the land before whose two kings you are in dread will be deserted. And our New Testament reading is taken from Romans chapter 1. Page 152 in the New Testament portion of your pew Bibles. Again, talking about the lineage of Jesus and his purpose on this earth. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God, which he promised beforehand through his prophets and holy scriptures, the gospel concerning his son, who was descended from David according to the flesh, and was declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord, through whom we have received grace and apostleship to bring about the obedience of faith among all the Gentiles for the sake of his name, including yourselves who are called to belong to Jesus Christ. To all God's beloved in Rome who are called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And the gospel reading today is taken from Matthew chapter 1, beginning at verse 18, page 1 in the New Testament part of your pew Bibles. The first 17 verses have to do with the lineage of Jesus, going all the way back to Adam, and rooting itself as on the way to Adam through David. It's showing who Jesus was by birth, that he was from the very first person created. And then Matthew continues telling the story of Jesus' birth, at least the beginning of that story. Matthew 1, beginning at verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. Her husband, Joseph, being a righteous man and unwilling to expose her public disgrace, planned to dismiss her quietly. But just when he had resolved to do this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet. Look, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. When Joseph awoke from the sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took her as his wife, but no marital relations with her until she had borne a son, and he named him Jesus. This is the word of God. We join together now in our next hymn, 147, Angels We Have Heard on High.
Thank you.
seated. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Lord, I pray that the words of my mouth and meditation of my heart will be acceptable before you and your people. Holy Spirit, speak to us this morning. Open our hearts to the story that you've given us, blessed us with. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Pardon me. The Sunday school teacher asked the children just before she dismissed them to go to church, and why is it necessary to be quiet in church? And one of the little girls replied, well, I think it's because the people in there are sleeping. We're very afraid of moments of silence when it comes to church very often. Those moments of silence seem to make us uncomfortable. And in some church services, especially I guess the ones that might be considered contemporary, there's lots of noise and sights and sounds that constantly fill the air. But it's good for us to be silent sometimes, to just be quiet and let that sense of the hope and the peace and the joy, and especially today as we think about the love of God, we're busy all the time. And we boast often about being, multitasking and all those kinds of things. But in reality, we do need to pause. And this is the time to do that on a Sunday such as this, to pause and think about our story. Today is the last Sunday of Advent. It's the love of God coming into this world is what we're thinking about. It's Jesus' birth. It's the beginning of this part of our story. It's a story all about love, the love that God has for each of us, both you and I. You know, when we read from Matthew this morning, those opening words I think are very important. Matthew chapter 1, at that verse 18, starts this way. Now the birth of Jesus the Messiah took place in this way. The birth of Jesus the Messiah took place in this way. And this is our story. There's lots of discussion and has been for years that everybody seems to ask these days about the details regarding the birth of Jesus. Did it take place on December 25th or sometime in June or some other time of the year? What was the relationship between Mary and Joseph really like? What was the birth like? Was the birth rather like that creche scene that we often see in front of churches or in Christmas decorations? What was it really like? The birth of Jesus, the Messiah, took place in this way. And again, this is our story. Between the two Gospels, in particular, we have a fairly detailed account of the birth of Jesus in Matthew and in Luke. And all the particulars are outlined there, the background and the event itself and the events that took place in the next few days and weeks. And unfortunately, all of us, myself included, can still get that account kind of mixed up with common or popular lore that's around. You know, one of the things that gets mixed up is that, you know, the night that Jesus was born, and again, was it night, daytime, who knows, but the night that Jesus was born, we assume because the shepherds came, it seems, at night or early morning, the kings are often rolled into that, but if we read the actual account, the kings came much later, the wise men came much later. But it's a nice, neat package to put it all in one event, one time, one day. And that's that sort of common lore, so to speak. It's important for us, I think, to understand all of the accounts that lead up to and are included and follow after the birth of Jesus, because this is our story and we need to know it well. So one of the things I do want to challenge all of us with is to please sit down and read those first few chapters. It's only a couple in each case in Matthew and in Luke. Get the story straight. It's our story, it's your story, it's my story, and we need to have it right. And it's all there. It is not the end of our story. It's not even truly the very beginning of our story, but it's the beginning of the story that involves Jesus' life. And today, we've been singing about it. We're going to continue to sing about it. We've read about it. We've been talking about it. Our story, the story of God's love for all of us, has been made manifest in that life of Jesus. The choir and our Sunday school today have complemented our story. They've sung all about that birth of Jesus, the birth of the King that's coming. That special feeling we are all experiencing that when we listen and see them sharing in song is also part of our story. The hope, the peace, the joy, and love that we feel at times, such as this morning, it's all part of our story. It's all part of that story of Jesus. All of the emotions that take place that we feel during this time are part of our story. And we can think about this in the sense that we can imagine maybe what the emotion that Jesus or Joseph felt when he had his dream that we read about today. Even before he had his dream, he was pretty emotional, I would think. We can think about the emotion that Mary and Joseph felt as they traveled on to Bethlehem and then had to search for a place to stay and then have their baby. We can think about the emotion that Mary must have felt when those shepherds suddenly showed up in the dark and told her the story of the angels that they saw. Think about the emotion that those shepherds themselves must have felt as they were sitting, as we read last week, sitting looking after their sheep, and then suddenly in the sky was full of angels. They must have been very emotional. There was a lot of hope and peace and joy and love in all of their hearts. And that emotion and those feelings are also part of our story. Christmas time, Advent time, this entire holiday season is a very complex time for really about everybody that lives in this country. There are some that we know that don't necessarily follow the Christian faith, but Christmas still affects them since it's a national holiday and it's filled with advertisements and the whole holiday idea of giving gifts. So even if they're not necessarily Christian people, they're still affected by our story. It's skewed in some ways, but it's that idea of the gift of God's love is there. There are others that struggle with this time because it brings back maybe painful memories of times and people that may be lost now. There are some that are filled with pain because they're alone and the season seems to demand that we're supposed to be happy and with people and family, and maybe those people don't have that in their lives. Conversely, there are those who are filled with happiness because they get to see their children and their grandchildren excited about Christmas Day and the gifts and the meals and the family. And there's certainly lots of children who are beyond happy. So we saw some of those children this morning. They're excited because of the anticipation of what Christmas will bring for them. All of this is part of our story, folks. It's not something that we should be shunning or putting away from. It's part of the story. This excitement, this happiness, this joy, the sadness, the struggles, it's all part of the same story. And it's because of the account of the birth and life of Jesus. Now, the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, took place in this way. This, too, is our story. No matter what we may be experiencing or feeling at this moment and in the next few days, it's part of God's story. It's part of our story. The story of Jesus and the hope, the peace, the joy, and the love, it's all part of that same story. John's Gospel sums up our story in one particular couple of verses that we know very well. When we know one of them, we don't always quote the second one. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. And it continues. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. That's our story. That's what Christmas is all about. That's our story. All the joys, all the excitement, all the sadness and the struggles are all summed up in those two verses. These words are well known in some ways and often quoted. But Jesus was born out of the love that God had for all of us, you and I both. God sent Jesus to complete that circle of love that started way back in Genesis. Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning, God created. And God saw that it was good. That's the beginning of our story. And our story is a long story, and it's not done yet by a long shot. All that we are feeling at this time of year is part of that love story that God has for us. Jesus' love for you and I is a love that's ancient and deep and profound. Today is Advent 4, the Sunday of love. And that's our story. That's God's story for us. God's love for us manifested in the birth, life, death, and ultimately the resurrection, the conquering of death of Jesus. What a great love he has for us. And that is our story. Amen. And now, as recipients of the abundant life in Christ, we now present our gifts and tithes and offerings to God. Gracious and loving God, we thank you for this offering and pray that you will bless it to continue this story that you have to tell. Use it, Lord, to your glory to bring about your kingdom. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Please be seated. Okay. Truly inspired this morning. Thank you, choir, for that too. We've got one more piece coming that we're going to join in with the choir. But before we do that, we're going to come before God with our prayers for others. And I'd like to point out that the flowers on my far left are this morning from Sharon Wilhelm in memory of her husband, Paul. And we have these in front of me here from Camilla Hermuel in honor of her father, Henry, who passed away a few weeks ago. And it, how do I say that? Dita?
Dieta.
That means grandpa, right? And that's a lovely thought. And we thank you for bringing those in, both of you, today. And honoring people who are very important in our lives. So, let's bow our heads in prayer. Lord, we thank you for this opportunity that we have to come before you in prayer to think about others. And these flowers that we bring in every week help us to remember people who are important in our lives, who've meant something and spiritually inspired us in so many ways and showed that continuing story of your love in our lives. We miss them, but we thank you, Lord, that they've been a part of our lives. And Lord, we come before you to be thinking about others this day, mindful of many people in the city and elsewhere who maybe they don't have sheltering and homes that are adequate enough. They don't have maybe a roof over their head at all. We think of people who are struggling with this particular season because there's so many demands on what we should be feeling and what we should be doing, and we can't always do that. So we think of people within our lives, Lord, today, who are struggling in different ways. And Lord, as we've been doing from Sunday to Sunday, offering in faith the names of people in our lives or people that we're aware of, and keeping in mind, Lord, that this, the names that get said out loud, names that get said in our hearts, you understand all that's connected to that name and all of the other people that are connected to that name, because it's not just Bob or Sally. It's their friends and their family and their coworkers that are all being affected in some ways as well. So it's a mighty prayer of faith when we offer these names. And so, Lord, we take a moment now and out loud or in our hearts, offer names in need right now. Lord, we thank you for these names and the step of faith that's been taken by each person to say them again out loud or in their hearts, trusting in you, because there's need, there's pain, there's hurt, there's illness, there's need. And you're going to meet those needs, Lord. That's why we do this from week to week, because we're in faith trusting these people with you. And all the people that are connected to them, Lord, too. We aren't by ourselves. You've made us as social beings. You've made us to be connected to one another because we're connected to you as well. So bless them and anoint them, Lord. And we offer all of this in a strong, firm faith in Jesus. Amen. Now, Renata, do you want to introduce how we're going to do this? The choir is going to be singing. We're going to sing along, but I'll let Renata explain how we're going to do this.
First of all, I just want to say thank you to everybody in the choir. Yes. Up here that came out and for the Advent season. We had quite a few weeks of really hard work and late Thursday evening. So thank you so much. This was really, really wonderful.
Yeah, thank you.
So if you want to turn in your hymn books to hymn 159, O Come, O Ye Faithful, the choir is going to sing, but in the very last, we're going to sing verse 4, Sing Choirs of Angels, and I will indicate when you can stand up and join us to sing the verse 4 of 159. Thank you.
with the love of God, folks, today. A God who extends mercy from generation to generation. Go with the illumination of the Holy Spirit, who prepares us for the coming of our Lord. Go with the peace of Christ the Child, who comes to partner with us to bring the kingdom that will never end. And now may the love of God, blessings of the Holy Spirit, and that intense love of Jesus be with you now and forever. Amen. I just have three things I want to say as I conclude today's service. One, thank you so much, choir, for participating and leading us in all this song. It was great. Thank you, Renata, for all your hard work, too. Second thing is, we still don't have a grandchild. She was due yesterday, but we're waiting. So as soon as I hear, I'll let you know. And the third thing is, I'm not going to join you at the back or downstairs. I'm done here for voice and everything else. My bronchitis is acting up, but I will see you, hopefully all of you, on Christmas Eve in a couple of days. God bless you. Thank you very much.